This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead on the show, John Brummett considers a gubernatorial debate almost nobody saw, the next United States Supreme Court justice, and the possibility that there is an Arkansas Razorback curse. That conversation with Roby Brock from Our Partner Talk Business and Politics is ahead. Also ahead on NPR's Here and Now, the recreational use of marijuana just became legal in the state of Massachusetts, but not a single retail establishment has yet opened its doors, leaving pot customers to the black market or to seek medical marijuana. What happens when pot is legal but unavailable? That story and the afternoon's news on Here and Now, beginning at 1, right after Ozarks at Large. Tomorrow's holiday, Independence Day, means many places like libraries and city offices will be closed. Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville will be open on the 4th and have a few special activities as well, including a free drop-in art-making class. Also, you'll have a chance to view the Beyond, Georgia O'Keeffe, and Contemporary Art, and more. Details about the 4th at Crystal Bridges can be found at crystalbridges.org. It's 7 minutes after noon. This is Ozarks at Large. Medical marijuana was legalized in Arkansas in late 2016. A year later, gun ownership laws also expanded. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, medical marijuana consumers will be prohibited from purchasing or owning guns.
A lone gunman practices shooting his semi-automatic weapon this morning at an indoor tiny town gun range. But if this fellow happens to be a registered Arkansas medical marijuana user and tries to purchase a brand new gun from a licensed dealer like David Rose Gun Shop in Farmington, operator Cheryl Rose says he'll be in big trouble.
The FBI will know you committed a perjured felony, which that's horrible. You don't want to do that.
Rose is referring to a federal law which bars medical marijuana patients from purchasing a gun or even owning one. Violators face up to 10 years in prison and possibly $250,000 in fines. Licensed U.S. gun dealers are required to conduct federal background checks, asking all customers to fill out federal forms, known as firearms transaction records. Regina Millage Brown is industry operations investigator and program manager at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Public Affairs Division, based in Washington, D.C.
And under federal law, it's unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of a firearm or ammunition to any person if they have reasonable cause to believe that that person is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance. And marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance.
Even so, 10 states have legalized recreational cannabis. 20 states have approved medical cannabis. Last March, the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission granted 5 state medical cultivation licenses. Pending approval, more than 5,500 Arkansans registered with the Arkansas Department of Health will soon be able to purchase cannabis therapy to treat qualifying conditions such as cancer, chronic pain, glaucoma, Alzheimer's disease, and post-traumatic stress disorder. And Robert Breck, the agency's general counsel, says he's been warning the public about the gun prohibition.
I've been invited to talk to a number of groups around the state about medical marijuana, and I always bring that up, and there are always questions about that. It's just not something that I would recommend anyone get a registration card if they plan to continue purchasing or using firearms.
Gun ownership among medical marijuana users had its first legal test case in 2016 when a Nevada patient barred by a dealer from purchasing a gun challenged the federal statute before the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The judge ruled the ban does not violate the Second Amendment. According to Giffords Law Center, which advocates for stricter gun control, nearly a quarter of all gun sales were made through unlicensed sales. More than 60 gun shows will take place in Arkansas in 2018, where such sales could expand given the prohibition. Gretchen Davis is a licensed arms dealer with Thor Global Defense Group in Van Buren.
It could, but they also know that if they're in possession of it, they're in violation of the law. And gun owners, over the whole, follow the law.
The National Rifle Association has yet to take a position on this matter. Only 17 states require universal background checks on all gun purchases. Arkansas does not. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Jacqueline's story was created in collaboration with Arkansas Public Media, a statewide reporting project funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and public radio stations across Arkansas. You can learn more about Arkansas Public Media at their Facebook page. Support for Arkansas Public Media comes from Hot Springs Village. Those looking for a place filled with arts, culture, dining, and entertainment can find it at Hot Springs Village, where visitors can golf, boat, hike, and play all day. More information available at explorethevillage.com. If you tuned into a local sports talk radio show in the past couple of days, even this morning, you didn't have to listen long for somebody, a host, a guest, a caller, to mention Arkansas Razorbacks and the word curse in the same sentence. As is the case sometimes with fandom, the negative can linger longer than the positive. Many fans of the Razorback baseball team seem to be dwelling on that oh-so-near national championship, far more than the fact that the team just secured the best season in program history since 1979. But John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, had to consider that painful loss from last week as part of this week's conversation. They'll get to an almost ignored gubernatorial debate that took place last week and the next U.S. Supreme Court justice, too. But first, Roby asked about Arkansas's statewide inferiority complex and the expectation many here have that the worst will happen when it comes to things like the Razorbacks.
Well, that's a very interesting psychological study, and it would be. And it's a complex subject, but I'll try to be brief. I'm on a texting message group with tennis buddies, all my age. Most of them went to the University of Arkansas in the early 70s. Fraternity boys, we're all pure D Arkansas guys, you know. And so during the games, there'll be, I don't participate so much because I tend to say negative things and upset them, but they're talking to each other in the text about the game. That play, there were comments that this is the Arkansas curse. It was almost like, you remember the story from Amy Chosik's book about the campaign manager who went into Hillary and said, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And she said, I knew they wouldn't let me be president. That's what, according to that book, she said. It's like these guys said, I knew they wouldn't let Arkansas be national champions. It's the Arkansas curse. And I think that was being heard widely. Part of it in our case is generational. We came of age in the 60s. 1969, the Arkansas-Texas game, ahead 14-0, Texas down 14-8. Fourth down from midfield, like 20 yards to go, and a quarterback who had never completed a pass all year threw to a double-covered and well-covered tight end who somehow caught it, and we lost the game.
Yeah.
Clint Sterner against Tennessee, remember that game?
Puts the ball on the ground.
We got them beat on their field.
To knock them out of the national championship running, yeah. And
stumbles,
contend hard.
Drops the ball. Yes, Arkansas has, in many ways, deserved inferiority complex because of the way we rank in terms of education and economic opportunity and those sorts of things. It makes, and we're a relatively small state, and we have one big-time college program. We have no pro program. So everything in Arkansas is all about the Razorbacks. And the interesting thing is, I'm not sure the Razorbacks are more futile than other teams. I think Boston Red Sox fans could tell you the same sorts of stories. The Chicago Cubs,
right.
I mean, they can all tell you a part of fanhood is frustration. But yeah, I'm sure the percentage of households with that game on was four times higher in Arkansas than in Oregon. I mean, there's just more going on in Oregon. It doesn't mean that much to them. And so that exaggerates what happened.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, this one was maybe the most remarkable. I mean, just one of you three catch the ball, and you not only have won the World Series, you've swept the World Series. You've gone through and haven't lost a game, and you've demonstrated yourself as classy and the better team. But when it happened, did you have the thought I had? I said it to my wife, who really didn't understand what's going on. I said, they just lost the World Series. I mean, it just, this feeling of doom, because it means so.
You knew they weren't going to come back in that game and that they would be.
And that's part of sports. I've played enough competitive tennis to know that you can be ahead 5-0 and lose because I've done it. You know, I mean, you can. I mean, the last out or the last point is the hardest. A lot of it is just the nature of sports, and if you follow a team as a rabid fan long enough, everyone will have these kinds of frustrations.
Yeah.
But Arkansas's is pronounced because of our smallness and our inferiority, and that particular play. That may be more than any of the football plays. I mean,
it's going to be remembered.
Incredible.
I will say this though, they still had a great season, and runner-up is not a bad thing necessarily. There are a lot of teams that would love to have come in second place this year and played as long as they did. So we will give them that as much. But
well, sure, give them that. They're a great team, fine, good guys, wonderful, blah blah. But I mean, all they had to do was catch a pop foul when they had three guys around it. It's the frustration level is. No doubt, at record levels.
Let's turn our attention to politics.
Okay.
Late last week on a Friday in Eureka Springs in front of I'm not sure how many newspaper people, there was a governor's debate between the three candidates for governor, Mark West, a Libertarian, Jared Henderson, the Democrat, and incumbent Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson. Did any news come out of this? Were you paying attention? Did you get anything out of the debate?
Roby, I'll tell you just a brief story to illustrate what I think your point is. I get a call Friday afternoon. I'm at home. You up in Eureka Springs at that debate? And I said, what debate? It said, the Arkansas Press Association. I said, their convention. Aren't you there? And I said, no, when was it? Today, moments ago. How did Jared do? This was a Democratic person. I said, I didn't even know what happened. I do proceed there to Facebook, where one of the television stations had posted it. Now, your question, did any news happen? Not really. Therefore, raising teacher pay and blah, blah.
They all seem to be in agreement on most of everything, so.
Yeah. But part of this is a few days after the start of summer. People aren't engaged in anything much in terms of news.
Pre-July 4th,
especially fall general election politics, especially in a governor's race that, with all due respect to Jared Henderson, it hasn't captured anybody's attention much yet. Had people been watching, because I watched it, I think the story would be Jared Henderson's a polished performance. I don't know if you saw it, but he did quite well.
He was on the show this week too, yeah. And he did very well in that.
Yeah, I mean,
the
Democrats have a young. The Arkansas Democratic Party is like a major league team that won the World Series a few years ago, and then they lost all their players to age and free agency. And they're not winning many right now, but they've got some people up from AAA who actually are pretty good. And Jared Henderson, Clark Tucker, those sorts. So that might be the story that Henderson is acquitted himself well.
And so we turn to national politics now, there is an opening on the Supreme Court for President Donald Trump. Republicans have the numbers, if they'll get their rank and file to follow it and push through with whoever the president nominates. Democrats are putting up a stand, but when you don't have the numbers, it doesn't matter how many petitions people sign, does it?
No. But there is some really interesting calculus here on all sides. The lead headline in the local paper this morning, Susan Collins says no to anyone who would repeal Roe v. Wade. That has some people hopeful or maybe even excited. But the calculus is such that I don't think the issue is ever repealing Roe v. Wade. I don't know that we ever will. I mean, the Republicans need it there to raise money and to appeal to the fundamentalist right. The issue is chipping away at Roe v. Wade through all sorts of restrictive legislation. So Susan Collins said, if I can't vote for somebody who says they're going to repeal Roe v. Wade, nobody's going to say. No Supreme Court nominee says, well, I'm going to get on there. So that's...
They're all going to respect the law and interpret
the
law.
And she says Trump promised her he wouldn't ask about Roe v. Wade. Well, he doesn't have to. Most of these people are judgeship nominees whose politics and cultural views and legal views are known. Plus, does she believe everything Donald Trump says? Is she the one person who does? I don't... So that was... That doesn't mean that much. Now, if Collins would come over on a nominee, or Murkowski, or something, then you've got, then the, if they could get one, the Democrats could get one Republican to come their way or to balk, then the next question is, can they keep their 49 together? And four of them, Manchin, West Virginia, McCaskill, Missouri, Teeter, Montana, and one in Indiana.
What about Heinkamp up in South Dakota?
Right. Fine. Thank you. It's even more. Who are likely, according to form, Democrats in red states trying to hold re-election, they move to the right. They call it moving to the center, but they're moving to the right. The chance of all five of them having the nerve to oppose a Trump nominee before the election, while at the same time, there's a whole new movement in the Democratic Party that's left, that's activist, that's strong, that's coming. And it has despaired. They think Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are too obliging, these folks. They have despaired of that kind of politics. And so most likely, if those four or five bailed on the Democrats, voted for Trump to try to attend to their re-elections, what probably will happen? They'll lose, and they'll end up not having stopped a Supreme Court nominee that they might have been able to, which is the Democratic curse, much like the Razorback curse.
John Brummett is a political writer with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and three times a week his columns appear in the paper. His columns, including a fourth web-only column, also appear at ArkansasOnline.com. He talked with Roby Brock with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can follow Arkansas news around the clock at TalkBusiness.net. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Arkansas Staged is presenting a new script Sunday evening at 21C Museum Hotel in downtown Bentonville.
Following two anthropologists, they study the myths and rituals of these people that they go and take field notes or research. And so that's kind of where you get the myth. But then they also, I think the grander scheme of their relationship is very mythic. Some of their conversations that they have as teacher and apprentice.
Field Notes from Mother Earth by Ashley Edwards is previewed later on this edition of Ozarks at Large. Independence Day is tomorrow, but the Arkansas World War I Centennial Commemoration Committee is already thinking ahead to another significant day, Veterans Day. The committee is trying to get this on your calendar for November 11th. Ring bells 11 times at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month. The idea is to ring bells to remember the end of World War I and the millions of people around the world who felt an impact by the violence. This November 11th will be the 100th anniversary of the armistice taking effect to end the war that was to end all wars. Nearly 72,000 Arkansas residents served in World War I. More than 2,100 of them died from injuries or disease. Another 1,700 were wounded. Anyone wishing to participate this November can send the name of their organization and the address at which the memorial bell ringing will take place to info@arkansaspreservation.org, and their information will be added to an online list of public participation. This is Ozarks at Large.
91.3 is supported by the Walmart Museum, a family-friendly experience featuring interactive displays on the history of Walmart, Walton's Five and Dime, and the Spark Cafe Soda Fountain, located on the square in downtown Bentonville and open daily until 9 p.m. Admission is free, 273-1329 or walmartmuseum.com. Additional support comes from the City of Eureka Springs, featuring the history, beauty, and charm of a Victorian village. With over 100 shops and galleries, Eureka Springs offers various shopping and dining experiences, overnight accommodations, plus spa retreats and day trips. Eureka Springs getaway information available at eurekasprings.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. It is the Independence Day weekend week. I don't know. July 4th on a Wednesday, Timothy Dennis, that always messes me up.
It messes me up, too.
I like Monday holidays. I like Thursday holidays. I like Friday holidays. Tuesday and Wednesday holidays just screw everything up.
Right, especially when we are producing things ahead of time and I'm not really here.
Because you're still on vacation.
Yes.
So we're going to tell you things that are happening around this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Check to see if there are still tickets available.
Or that it hasn't been canceled for weather or whatever.
Or whatever, right.
So starting Thursday, July the 5th, there's going to be a show at George's in Fayetteville featuring a lot of hard rock bands, Terminus, Groaners, and Witch Sister.
Oh.
That's from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. again at George's in Fayetteville.
Perfect.
Also in Fayetteville, Gin Strings will be at Kingfish.
Last night about 3 a.m. and I was thinking it could have been a friend of mine. It turned to be a man with trouble on his tongue. Well, he was looking to find a girl named Emery.
Gin Strings is an acoustic progressive string band from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And they have a really, really good sound. That show is from 8 to 11 p.m. at Kingfish in Fayetteville. Let's move on to Friday, July 6th.
All right.
Howard and Sky will be at Dixon Street Pub in Fayetteville.
Why do I know Howard and Sky?
They've been a duo for about 4 years. They're based more closer to Central Arkansas, but they're in the River Valley area.
Okay.
They're a songwriter duo, so Americana, folk music, that kind of thing.
Rain blur out the near tree line as my eyes reach past this mottled pane. Steel gray sky as your curtain, hiding a brighter day.
Again, it's at Dixon Street Pub in Fayetteville. It's from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m.
Okay.
Also in Fayetteville on Friday night, the Red Clay Strays will be at Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville.
All right.
Now, with a name like the Red Clay Strays, what would you assume their music is?
Red Dirt Country?
You're not far off. Okay. I mean, they claim that they are country rock, southern rock.
I need even on a cloudy day.
I mean, all part and parcel of the same idea, though.
If someone asks you, hey, describe to me what Red Dirt Country is, I come up with a loss of like, well, it's kind of half Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, half sort of, I mean, there's a lot of different things. It's,
yeah.
If you like Americana country music, maybe with a little bit more of an upbeat,
right.
A little bit more electric. I don't know. It's just good stuff.
It is good stuff. Again, they're from Mobile, Alabama. They will be at Smoke and Barrel. It's a free show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's Friday night.
All right.
Also Friday night, Dylan Guthrie and the Good Time Guys will be at Black Apple Crossing in Springdale. Now, with a name like Dylan Guthrie, I would think folk music, protest songs, what have
you. Well, yeah, I mean.
But no, it's a soul group.
Sometimes I just rest my eyelids and I dream about the Lennon song.
Guthrie probably didn't have any control over being called Dylan Guthrie.
Well, that's true.
He was probably assigned that name by somebody
else,
right?
That's probably fairly true. Right. That show at Black Apple Crossing is 8 to 10 p.m. They will also be at Smoke and Barrel Tavern Saturday night for a free show at 10 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've got a double whammy this weekend.
Great.
But more stuff is happening Friday night. Carla Cook will be at Meteor Guitar Gallery in Bentonville. Do you know about Carla Cook?
Boy, that's a familiar name.
She's the youngest daughter of the late, great Sam Cook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's been touring, like, what she's calling the Sam Cook Experience. So she's doing a lot of her father's songs on tour.
I'm lost and I'm looking for my baby. Lord knows my baby ain't around crying.
Oh
my.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah. So you have options of soul in Springdale or soul in Bentonville.
Isn't that the way it is usually? I mean, yeah. It's like you wait for a show like this, and then there are two of them against each other.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Okay, so the Carla Cook Show, general admission tickets for that at Meteor are $20 in advance or $25 the day of.
Okay.
And that show will be 8 to 11 p.m. And then finally, Friday night, The Lark and the Loon will be at Brews in Eureka Springs.
Love The Lark and the Loon. I just absolutely love those guys.
They're one of my favorite local folk duos.
I just like their sound a whole bunch.
That show at Brews will be from 7 to 10 p.m. Friday night. Okay, Saturday, Snail Mail and Bonnie Doon will be at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. No.
Snail Mail got a significant amount of airtime, or the record did, the featured review on Fresh Air a couple of weeks ago.
Right, right. And they are, what would you say, just pop?
Yeah, I mean, pop-ish. Yeah. Sure. Fun, good, intelligent music.
Yeah, I would say so. That show is going to be $10 in advance, $12 the day of, and it's from 8:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., again at George's in Fayetteville.
All right.
Also in Fayetteville Saturday night, The Worms will be at Backspace in Fayetteville, W-I-R-M-S.
Right.
They're a local hard rock group, and they're releasing a new album, actually, a full-length album. That show with The Worms at Backspace, they're suggesting a $5 donation at the door, and it will be from 9 p.m. to midnight.
All right.
Moving on, Dom Flemons will be at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville. You know Dom Flemons.
I do.
Carolina Chocolate Drops?
Yes!
He's one of the co-founders, multi-instrumentalist.
Yes!
Insanely talented.
Insanely talented. You're right.
He will be performing at Crystal Bridges as part of the Forest Music series.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a youth or a member of Crystal Bridges, you don't have to pay anything to get in. If you aren't a member or a youth, it's $10. That show is from 7 to 10 p.m. at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville.
Great if it's free. Hey, spend the $10. It's
worth
it.
Oh, I'd pay $20 to see him. And that's it for this weekend.
All right. Well, and the next weekend, we're going to both be here.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'm going to Louisiana. The baboon dog and a big fat hog and Mary Susanna. Sing song, ding dong. I'll take a trip to China. Cornbread and butter beans, then back to North Carolina. Cornbread and butter beans, and you cross the table. Eating and beans and making love as long as I'm able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love begin all over.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's 26 minutes before 1 o'clock. Later today on All Things Considered, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says people fleeing gangs or domestic violence no longer qualify for asylum. So where does this leave the Central Americans being held in federal custody? An asylum reality check on the next All Things Considered from NPR News. That begins at 3 this afternoon on 91.3 KUAF. Sunday evening at 7, Arkansas Staged is back at 21C Museum Hotel in downtown Bentonville. This time, the company is presenting a stage reading of Field Notes from Mother Earth, a script created by Ashley Edwards and directed by Jenny Guy. As is the case with most Arkansas Stage presentations at 21C, the play is free with a $5 suggested donation. Yesterday afternoon, playwright Ashley Edwards came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to discuss the play. With her were Claire Fossey, an actor in the production, and Celeste Richard, stage manager and production assistant for the evening. And with us on the phone from Tulsa yesterday, Jenny Guy, the director. I asked Ashley Edwards about the sentence used to describe her script. It is, "This epic piece of magical realism unearths the relationship between two anthropologists, mentor and apprentice, and traverses the worlds of mythology, ghosts, and natural disasters."
Pretty much that covers, I think, what the play's about.
Well, okay. to the uninitiated, to one who hasn't read the play, that's big. I mean, mythology, ghosts, and natural disasters. Give us a hint of what of each or any of those might be covered.
Well, again, following two anthropologists, they study the myths and rituals of these people that they go and take field notes or research. And so that's kind of where you get the myth. But then they also, I think the grander scheme of their relationship is very mythic. Some of their conversations that they have as teacher and apprentice, I think, cover those topics. Also with ghosts, I think we're talking more about the ghosts of our past, our ancestors, kind of the things that haunt us. And then natural disasters being, they're really, really concerned with how the environment affects cultures and how, what that has to do with as kind of the environment of goes extinct. There's things that are going extinct. We can also compare our cultures like that as well.
Claire, you're one of the anthropologists.
Yes. Yeah. So Ula first began as a Gale student. She was infatuated with her and her work and wanted to continue studying underneath her, following her around doing field notes. In different cultures, and as the play progresses, you see a separation between those two people, really because of, you know, technology and the dissonance between those two different eras and types of people and what they, you know, value.
Jenny, who's with us on the phone from Tulsa, you and Ashley knew each other in graduate school. Did you know, had you seen this script before beginning to work on it for this presentation this weekend?
I hadn't. Yes, because we did a reading at Phoenix in Fayetteville a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I'd seen it for that, but no, I had not seen the script. I'm familiar with Ashley's work though. And I've known that she's always been a great writer of women, and hearing that this was a two-woman play and having the ability to reunite and do some work in Northwest Arkansas again was pretty exciting to me.
Ashley, when you have a two-person play, the relationship is everything,
right?
I mean, you can't bring in a third character for a while.
Right.
What is it like writing for two people when you know the dialogue is going to be between this person and this person?
Well, it's a lot easier than writing one-woman shows, which I usually do. In fact, that was my thesis, was a one-woman show. So I really like small character plays. Right before I wrote this last summer, I read a play called Bright Half Life by Tanya Barfield, and I just loved it. I loved the whole two character, and Tanya Soracho too was another one, Fade. I just loved how they have to interact with each other, the conflict there, the tension, and I just wanted to try it. Also, it's very appealing to theaters when you have small cast. As far as getting it produced, getting readings, and I know that casting is hard, and so I know that doesn't sound very magical, but you do think about that when you're writing, how, you know, kind of what's easy to produce.
So what has it been like getting ready for this?
It's been an interesting experience. I did sort of the same kind of reading, you know, writing and, you know, developing a play a couple years ago at Theater Squared, and so it was nice to have that experience first, so I knew how to approach this. And, you know, I mean, Ashley said from the beginning that this is a work for all of us to be involved in, and it's not just her. She likes to hear our ideas, and when we did our reading at Phoenix, we got so many contributions to what people felt like was missing or what they were confused about, and so it's just really, it's really great to see it progress and develop.
I'll open this again to everybody. When you're in that development and you're asking for opinions or thoughts, how do you know what to take, what not to take? You've spent all this time with it. It's your creation. Jenny, I mean, all of you, how do you know what is something that you should listen to that maybe should be different? And then what do you know you should ignore?
Who wants to take? You mean take this one?
Yeah.
Well, I like to see what people talk about. And usually if they don't talk about a part of the play, that's where I feel like the holes are. But if they talk a lot about it, even if it's something they were confused about, I can tell that it sticks out, so I know to keep that. And that's really what I'm looking for in development, is what people take away and what the conversations are about in these talkbacks. So that's kind of how I know. Also, what works with the story, what's not going to cause me to go back and rewrite the whole play. And then, because once you start rewriting in development, you can get pretty bad. I mean, it can go a bad way, too, where you overdevelop a play. And some of that stuff that you really had in the beginning begins to go away because you're like, well, I got to cut that. So you have to be careful to keep the original intent, but also incorporate some of these things that the actors bring, the director brings. I always listen to the cast and the director first, and because they're the ones that are spending the most time with the script. And then as an audience, I can say, well, that made an impression on them. What are they confused about? And then I just take that into consideration. Usually things are helpful, I mm-hmm. would say.
Yeah.
I think for me, in this type of process, I've had the good fortune to do workshops and work with playwrights directly all throughout my career, starting at the University of Arkansas. And I think that the great thing and the interesting thing about this process is even more than a typical produced play, we're there to serve the playwright. I think that that is our mission, is to tell the story as the playwright has written it. And so I very much cater what I do as a director to giving her the most clear picture of what she's written, what's being put out, and telling the story as best as I can. And I have a great team to do that with. So that's kind of how I look at this process.
Is there a different role for you, Jenny, in this stage of a play? I mean, if this were, I don't know, Death of a Salesman or something like that, something that's, you know, decades old.
I think so. First of all, directing Death of a Salesman, that's a thing. That's a situation. And I'm not saying I will do that. But I think that here the exciting thing about it is being a colleague of Ashley's for a long time and working with someone who is open to collaboration as she is, there's a chance to shape things and to help shape them, to help basically just be a mirror and sit in front of her and say, this is what I see and what I hear. And she's been great to collaborate with. I've enjoyed the process immensely. And so I think that my job, like I said, is just to, this is what we're getting now. And if this is your intent, I'm going to tell it the best I can. And if that's not your intent, then let's work on ways to figure out a different way to tell this story. And I think to the betterment of this beautiful relationship between these two women that this play is about for me. And I think it's going to be a very exciting process. It has been exciting. And I think it's going to yield a really great story when we're done.
So this will be at 21C. Mm-hmm. Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the room, where it is, and when we ever talk about 21C and these performances by Arkansas Staged, if someone hasn't been there, they might have one kind of concept of what they're going to see, because you think of a stage reading as one thing. What will we experience Sunday?
Well, we with Arkansas Staged love to do stage readings plus. So normal stage reading is kind of, you know, you have the script which you've been working on, you may have like a black music stand and a chair. If you read it, you stand up, read it, sit down, you're done. And there's very static, there's not a lot of movement. But we like to try to bring movement, bring staging, even bring lights. In the past we've done other theatrical elements such as costumes and props, projections even. So we like to definitely go a little bit above and beyond just a stage reading process, but again, kind of within a little rehearsal process, hence why actors are still on book. But for this performance, it'll be in the big ballroom gallery area of 21C, where we've done it in the past. If you go into 21C, you go through the restaurant, and then it's this big, beautiful ballroom, big, beautiful barn doors that open. And we've had a lot of fun playing around in that space and using it in all different capacities.
You know, I've got to ask you, because you and I have talked twice now in the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. Once about a production in progress,
that was going to be on a bus.
Yes.
Now in a hotel, albeit a beautiful hotel ballroom, so not conventional theater.
Mm-hmm.
Are there pluses and minuses to that?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, conventional theater, every element is at our control. And so you have everyone who kind of knows their elements and knows exactly what they need to do to change things. When you're taken out of that place, it can be very difficult to change things. You know, if, for example, getting the lighting exactly right. You know, the room that we're in, we're not going to have pretty colors. We're not going to have the sense of feeling that you might get from that sort of thing. But we do, you know, move lights around, move our set pieces around, and we just kind of have to take what's given us. Luckily, the room has, like, audio capabilities. We can change the lighting. But, you know, for example, on the bus, there wasn't a whole lot we could do. It was just kind of like, here's the space we're in, let's use it. And so in any site-specific theater, that's what you got to do, is take what the space allows and then use it to the best of your ability.
Claire, is it different for an actor being in a place that's not the traditional stage?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of, you know, specific parts in the script where you have to literally only rely on your acting to convey, you know, your space. You know, I mean, stage directions can only help so much, but to be able to really feel like you're in this space and, like you said, this, you know, very kind of different feeling of a script than normal, it you know, allows for a lot more reaching room acting-wise, and it's really fun.
And after this, right, because this is one night, mm-hmm. but it's not the end.
I hope not. So as a playwright, one of the things we do a lot is submit plays to festivals, to for production. I'm really interested in getting into more theaters, but also regional theaters or maybe theaters that are close that I can be able to go and be a part of the process. So that's probably what I'll do. And once I feel like, I think that's what development's for, is to get it ready to that next production stage. And so I guess the term is shop it around, see what works, see what people are doing, the type of work that you're doing. There's some theaters in California that I really like, and also in Chicago. So that's my next two stops.
Ashley Edwards' play Field Notes from Mother Earth will be presented as a staged reading plus Sunday evening at 7 at 21C Museum Hotel in downtown Bentonville. With her in the Carver Center for Public Radio yesterday afternoon, Claire Fossey, an actor in the production, and Celeste Richard, the stage manager and production assistant for the presentation. And with us on the phone yesterday was Jenny Guy, the director. Unable to be with us was the other actor in the play, Charisma Henderson. The production Sunday evening is free with a $5 suggested donation.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. 91.3 is supported by Arkansas Children's Northwest, providing fast access to pediatric experts specializing in kid-sized care. Arkansas Children's Northwest is located in Springdale, across from Arvest Ballpark. Information at archildrens.org/emergency.
It's Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. With me at the Carver Center for Public Radio is Becca Martin Brown, features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We have holiday-type shows going the rest of the week. You weren't going to have a chance to be here on Friday or next Sunday, so here you are.
Because you
Tuesday.
Can't get rid of me.
No, let me just... So you're going to kind of tell us what you would have told us if our schedules aligned on Friday.
Exactly.
Okay.
That made almost no sense, but yes.
All right.
You know, sometimes you get, even when you're the editor, you get stories handed to you that you wouldn't have done otherwise.
Yeah.
So Jocelyn Murphy, who does our music writing for What's Up, had an interview scheduled that she couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was supposed to be on the beach in Florida. I thought this was a good reason.
I think that's a very good reason.
So I picked up the interview and fell head over heels in love with a guy named Dom Flemons, who's one of the founders of the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And I assume you've met him, because I assume he was here with the Carolina Chocolate Drops for Roots.
I talked to him on the phone before.
Okay. Well, he is, if there were an Ancestry.com for American folk music, he built it. He has all the stuff for it. He knows where everything is in it. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out listening to rock and blues and country in the 60s. He's probably 40, I'd guess.
Yeah, I'm not
maybe.
Quite sure.
And then he started finding these intersections where, like, the music of Lead Belly intersected with the music of Blind Lemon Jefferson, mm-hmm. which then intersected with the music of Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger. And so it's all this rabbit warren. And he wants to look at music from every possible direction. He's amazing. I could sit and listen to him talk for a week and never get tired. So now he plays banjo, fife, guitar, harmonica, quills, and rhythm bones. And he's playing July 7th, which is Saturday, as part of the Forest Concert Series at Crystal Bridges. Guess who's going to come and play some with him?
Tell me.
Clark Buehling.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's what I said.
That makes sense.
He said, I have a friend there that's going to come play with me. Clark Buehling. I said, that makes sense.
Clark, of course, longtime Fayetteville resident.
So he's going to talk about music. They're going to talk about music. It's going to be so cool. I mean, cool enough that I might go out at 8:30 on a Saturday night.
Holy cow. All right.
There you go. He has a new album out called Black Cowboys, which I haven't listened to yet. But he's looking at a big part of the westward expansion history that is not often discussed. Mm-hmm. He's just so cool. 8:30 Saturday, Crystal Bridges, $10. And there's opening music at 7.
Yeah.
What more could you want?
It's going to be a fun night.
And then you can just hang out in Bentonville. Find something to do for 24 hours. And come back on Sunday night because Arkansas Staged is doing a workshop reading of a new play.
Right.
Called Field Notes from Mother Earth, which was written by Ashley Edwards, mm-hmm. who teaches theater at Northwest Arkansas Community College.
Right.
And is very cool. And the show is anthropological. It sort of fits. It's about a teacher trying to share what they've learned with an apprentice mm-hmm. about basically why the world is dying.
Okay.
You know?
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Anthropologically speaking. I don't know that it will be uplifting. I imagine it will, because Ashley's kind of like that. But it'll be fascinating. And Jenny Guy is directing, who I love, MFA from University of Arkansas. And all this happens at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
At the 21C Museum Hotel in Bentonville. And it's free. They hope you'll give them
$5.
Yeah. And although it's not in my notes, I'm still pimping for the Mountain Street Stage at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Who's going to be there Sunday? Do you know?
I do. Shore and Cockrum.
Oh, fun.
If you show up, I've got KUAF swag. I'll share.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Becca Martin Brown features. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Becca Martin Brown features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. A federal district court is halting an Arkansas law that opponents say would have effectively banned medication abortion in the state. A judge issued the injunction late last night until the case can go to trial. The law in question requires medication abortion providers to contract with another OBGYN who holds hospital admitting privileges. According to Planned Parenthood, Great Plains, the law would have ended access to all but one clinic in the state after the Supreme Court declined to take the case last month. The federal district court ruled the law does little to advance legitimate interest in protecting women's health and would be a substantial obstacle to a woman's choice to undergo an abortion. This all comes as pro-choice advocates worry about what the latest Supreme Court vacancy could mean for abortion rights nationwide. In an interview with CBS News, Governor Asa Hutchinson says he has always supported reversing Roe versus Wade, and if that were to happen, he believes there would be further restrictions placed on abortion in Arkansas. At this weekend's Families Belong Together rally on the Fayetteville Square, Mayor Lionel Jordan made this proclamation to a crowd of about 2,000 people. The audio you're about to hear comes from a video taken by Samuel Benz.
For those of you that are concerned about our role as a city in immigration enforcement, I want you to know I have directed our police chief and our police force not to be drafted into enforcing 287G.
287G is a United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement Partnership Program that funds collaboration between federal and local authorities to, in effect, deputize local law enforcement to act as immigration enforcers in their jurisdictions. Fayetteville Police Chief Greg Tabor tells Ozarks at Large, while his police department does participate in other federal partnerships, like Drug Task Force, the department has never engaged in ICE's 287G program and does not intend to. However, both Washington and Benton counties do have mutual agreements with ICE under the 287G program. During Saturday's rally, Mayor Jordan also brought up the City Council's adoption of the Welcoming Fayetteville Plan, which aims to intentionally include more new Americans into the community.
And in the next few months, we will be establishing welcoming hubs to share information, offer classes, provide spaces for our immigrants to gather, and we will do our very best to highlight the successes during this time of trouble by showcasing their businesses and their contributions to our community.
The Families Belong Together rally was held in conjunction with other rallies around the country this weekend.
The 8th annual Winslow Half Marathon and 5K run is Saturday, September 15th. This run through the Boston Mountains of Northwest Arkansas will end at the Winslow Community Expo Center with music, food, and local vendors. Registration and information at winslowrun.com.
A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Clarksville, including the University of the Ozarks. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Tomorrow, on our Independence Day edition of Ozarks at Large, a tradition we started several years ago, we're going to listen to some of our favorite in-studio performances from the first 6 months of 2018. I'll be joined by Timothy Dennis and Antoinette Grajeda on tomorrow's show, both at noon and 7. We'll end this edition of Ozarks at Large with music from Goose. They will be live on the patio at the 8th Street Market in Bentonville Saturday night at 7. It is a free show. This is when Goose gave Ozarks at Large a free exclusive performance inside the Carver Center for Public Radio. The song is Down by the River. Thanks so much for listening. Please have a safe 4th of July.
Oh, but Lord knows I tried. And I got no real reason for me to be changing my way. Done is done as far as I can see, and I've seen better days. Down the river I go, down, down, way far down. Down the river I go on my own. Down the river I go, down, down, way far down. Down the river I go on my own. Nothing but an honest man, trying to do the best I can to make things right. Well, I'm nothing but an honest man, trying to do the best I can to make things right.